Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The plan you laid out, there has been no talk about how you guys are going to figure out how to add an elite player. Until you do that, you're stuck in mediocrity. And the thing you talked about last year at this time was getting out of mediocrity. So I'm confused with why you think this plan is going to work when there's no plan.
Well, I think there is a plan. And I think that we always going to be looking how to improve this roster.
And the search goes on. That's Arturis Karnišovas as his season-ending press conference here on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris hanging out with you on a Friday. Reminding you that we're broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And there you heard AK addressing the lack of a star, the lack of someone who can put this franchise on its back and carry it to the top of the playoffs, or just to the playoffs, as opposed to the play-in. And Mark Grody, you have approached me with this idea that you are an AK defender and are defending his thought process and his way of life.
I can never get mad at any sports franchise, and we're talking about the Bulls. I can't get mad at the Bulls, competitive people, for not being able to pull off a tank, which is what seems like you would have preferred that the Bulls do. Dan Bernstein, I heard, used to hear you and Bernsey talk about that all the time, about wanting to see this team tank. They got rid of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso. So they did put themselves in a position to where we all thought it was going to be an awful, terrible, lost season this year. But you got bumps from a couple guys that you didn't think you were going to necessarily get bumps from. Modest Puzelis and Josh Giddey. So what? Sit those guys down and put Dalen Terry and Talen Horton-Tucker and Julian Phillips into the game? Is that what you guys wanted to see?
Let me correct you real quick.
What have I told you about correcting me?
Okay, so you just said that you heard Dan and I talk about tanking all the time.
Yeah.
If you listen that close, and Ray Diaz is back there, he can back me up on this. I told Dan at the beginning of the season, the Bulls are too good to tank even after they get rid of Zach LaVine. Once they move him at the deadline, they still won't be good enough to tank. You know why? Because these teams are out here tanking. How many games clear of a play-in spot do you think the Chicago Bulls were? If you had to guess, 82-game schedule, how many games clear? I'll tell you who the team was. The team that finished 11th in the Eastern Conference was the Toronto Raptors. How many games clear of the Raptors do you think the Bulls were?
What do you, like, one or two games?
Is that what you think? One or two? How about seven?
Ooh.
And guess what? If the Bulls have been creeping closer to being in tank territory, aka finishing the bottom five of the conference, Toronto would have lost even more games.
What did you want the Bulls to do this year? How could they have better tanked?
I'll lay it out for you.
Okay.
It's very simple. I wanted the Bulls to play their young players more. I wanted the Bulls
to
trade.
Who are you talking about? Josh Giddey and Modest Puzelis?
No, I'm talking about Julian Terry. I'm talking about Julian Phillips
and Dalen Terry. At the expense of Modest Puzelis and Josh Giddey.
No, you're not following. I wanted them all to play together, the young guys.
Okay. And
trade Vooch.
Okay.
Trade Vooch. Get the 2 second round picks or whatever you can get for Vooch. Because now you have more draft assets.
Sit Coby White, though, right? Because that's way too many. That's way too much scoring. Those are three-pointers. Miss those shots.
I was never under the belief that the Bulls were going to be as good as they are now. I was also never under the belief they were going to be bad enough to be with the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets, who have 18 and 19 wins apiece, respectively. So my point was, it's okay if you win a little too much and you don't have the best odds. What's not okay is not getting the draft assets moving forward. Nikola Vucevic gone, and now you're playing somebody else at that position, right? So you're not going to win as much.
So this is really just, it really comes down to Vooch for you then.
That's the number one thing they missed on at the trade deadline is trading Vooch. And also not getting draft assets back as opposed to players. So Robbie, behind that glass back there, will tell you that the Josh Giddey trade was a success. I said it was successful if you just wanted a player, but if you want to be able to move guys to get a superstar, get more draft picks. They should have gotten a first-round pick.
Well, my point is Josh Giddey is going to be better than any other draft pick and what that player is going to be, because my guess is that draft pick was going to be after the lottery. So maybe 20 to 31 or whatever they're going to get for Alex Caruso, because no one's going to trade a lottery pick for Alex Caruso. That's why I was like, you have a certified player here. Draft is whatever. It's any bit of hope, but I understand what you're saying, getting those draft picks to get other things. But Josh Giddey's better than any of those draft picks they would have gotten.
Let me ask you a simple question, Mark. Are we any closer to the Bulls being competitive and competing for a championship at the end of this season than we were at the end of last season?
I think yes, because of the continued development of Matis Buzelis. I think because of the continued development of Coby White. I think because of the surprising things that Josh Giddey did. Because that's the way I look at it. Like, I see this season as a developmental success in some ways. I didn't want the Bulls to be in the play-in game. They're not as good as I wanted them to be this year. But you have some... Yes, you are lacking the superstar.
By the way, how
many teams in the NBA have superstars? Like, there's like it's not. I get it.
Let's
like,
count them off.
It almost sounds like the you think the Bulls are entitled to a superstar, or NBA teams are entitled to having a superstar on their roster. It's hard to get that guy. It's very difficult to get superstars.
There's two ways to get a superstar. There's three actually, but the third one is out of the question. The third one is signing a free agent superstar. Rarely do guys get to free agency in the way that you need to get that, unless they team up with someone else and say, we're just going to go here because we can play together. The other way is through a trade. Again, the Bulls don't have the assets. If Joker was available today, they can't go get him because they don't have the assets to go get Joker.
Do you think that a sign and trade for Josh Giddey? Maybe? Do you think that other teams look at him and say, oh, wow, from afar, and just look at the numbers and say, man, look what this guy is doing. Boy, that's not the player that we saw at Oklahoma City. Maybe that guy is suddenly an asset, as Robbie was saying, maybe as valuable as another draft pick.
Where did the Josh Giddey Bulls lead you?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, to the play-in game.
And what happened then?
They lost.
Okay, so no.
So you're saying he's a lost cause because they lost the play-in
game?
And there's no value to that player because they lost the play-in game?
He's not a lost cause, but when you talk about sign and trade for what? What do you think Josh Giddey is getting you in a sign and trade?
I mean, that's an asset. That's an asset, right?
Oh, okay.
So you said that they're bereft of assets, that they don't have.
Yes.
That is an example of an asset, right? That's a up-and-coming, based on this year, do you not think he's an up-and-coming player? Maybe you just don't like Josh
Giddey. I think he's a still-developing player who has a ceiling when it comes to defense, and it takes players who can play both ends of the court to win and compete for championships. That's what I think.
I mean, for sure. I mean, the defense has been a struggle for this player, for sure.
And Josh Giddey's not leading that turnaround, is my point.
But a lot of this season for the Bulls, that's another thing. A lot of this season for the Bulls was rebound and run, and let's catch up with the rest of the NBA and shoot threes and be offensive in that regard. Do they need to add another Alex Caruso, a guy that they traded away, guys that can play defense?
No,
of course they
need
they
to
do.
Add a superstar. They need to add a superstar.
Which isn't that easy to do. Which is not that
it's
easy
not,
to do.
But it's easier when you are bad and you can take on bad contracts. You have so much more versatility when you're not actively trying to just get to the play-in stage and say, hey guys, we led the league in attendance again. And that's where they are right now. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, all right.
We'll have to leave it there.
To be continued. I think we need to continue this conversation at some point.